Chapter 76, John Calvin, Part 3, Second Genevan Ministry and His Struggle with the Libertines. While wickedness rose to its peak in Geneva, Calvin came to Basel. Yet he did not stay very long in that city. He received a call from Strasbourg, a city on the left bank of the Rhine. Due to the fierce persecutions in France, many Protestants fled to Strasbourg. There a refugee congregation came into existence. Well then, those refugees asked Calvin if he would come to Strasbourg as their pastor and teacher. Calvin refused. Now that he is once in Basel, he wants to remain in Basel. However, these people persevered. Three times he received a call from the French refugee congregation in Strasbourg, and finally Calvin no longer dared to refuse. He accepted that call and removed to Strasbourg. He spent three happy years in that city. As a father, he cared for those poor indigent refugees. Through his inspiring preaching, they were encouraged and comforted, because Calvin knew what it meant to be driven from home and hearth, and to be hunted as a partridge in the mountains. Indeed, he spoke from experience. He visited them in their homes and discussed their difficulties with them. Besides, he gave lessons and also wrote various books. Indeed, also in Strasbourg, he did not spend his years in idleness. During that time, he married a widow by the name of Idelette van Buren. He had been married to her for only 9 years. Then she died. But then they no longer lived in Strasbourg, but in Geneva. She had been a good wife for Calvin. When he was sick, and that happened quite often because he was not strong, she lovingly nursed and took care of him. Her first husband had died of the plague. She had 2 children by her first marriage. The children of her second marriage with Calvin all died when very young. Some tell us that they had only 1 child. Others speak about 3 children who all died when young. It was a heavy blow to Calvin that she died already in 1549. But as I already wrote, at this time Calvin no longer lived in Strasbourg, but in Geneva, the city which had banished him. During his residence in Strasbourg, Calvin had sought affiliation with the German Protestants. He never met Luther himself, but he did meet his friend Melanchthon. Those 2 divines have conversed with each other at a diet at Frankfurt. They have parted as friends. That friendship remained till their death. But it never came to a close cooperation between those 2 groups. After the banishment of the Protestant ministers who had given guidance in Geneva, it went very bad there. The Libertines rejoiced. They had gained the victory. Now they could give free reins to their wickedness. Now they could continue their licentious life undisturbed, because the ministers, who were still permitted to remain, were not much respected by the people. They could not cope with the spirit of licentiousness which prevailed in the city. It is true, there were still people who deplored that Calvin and Farel had been banished, but they could not change anything. They were helpless and could not check the unfavorable development within the city. Calvin wrote a touching letter to those friends in Geneva, in which he exhorted them seriously to persevere and to strive against the tidal wave of wickedness which flooded the city. However, the libertines had the majority also in the city administration, and hence they held the reins. No, it did not go well. A French refugee called Geneva a Sodom. In this way, the city was heading for its ruin. Besides, another, a no less danger, threatened the city. Rome hoped to get the city into its power again. We know already that the papacy was abolished in 1535, but now Rome tried to seize the lost territory again and to get the city back into its possession. Geneva had to become Roman Catholic again. Cardinal Sadoleto wrote a friendly, flattering letter to the council and citizens of Geneva. He deplored that Geneva had rent itself from the church. They should not have done that. It is true there were many things in the Roman Catholic Church which were not in order, but that could be discussed, could it not? Changes could be brought about in that, could it not? The prevailing difficulties could easily be solved. Only Calvin was a man with whom they had to be careful. He was a dangerous man who would certainly receive his punishment in hell. In this manner wrote that friendly cardinal. Ah, Rome meant it so well with Geneva. It would so gladly spread its fatherly arms over Geneva. The Catholic clergy trembled with pity to bring that poor, gone astray, misguided city into the right way again. But Cardinal Sadoleto did not write about the strappado which this same Rome used in France, as so that the blood of the martyrs flowed in streams. No, for Geneva he only had friendly, flattering words, full of compassion. For that reason, this letter was so dangerous. The bird warbled with a sweet warble that signified Rome tried to lure Geneva into its nets with nice words. Everything in it was full of mildness, and if then their ruse succeeded, then that same Rome would make them feel its claws. Then the stakes would also smoke in Geneva, and the torture fires would be lighted. Then the unwilling goats would be brought to obedience with strappado and other torture instruments, or else die. The citizens of Geneva were frightened by that letter. Return to Rome? Never. The letter must be answered. But yea, by whom? No one dared to tackle that. There was only one man who could do that, and the name of that man was Calvin. He was asked if he would answer that alluring letter full of flattery, and Calvin did do it. He worked 6 days at Strasbourg on that letter, and it was so clear and irrefutable that Sadoleto did not have the courage to write a second letter. This letter from Calvin remained unanswered. Meanwhile, many citizens of Geneva became tired of the flagrant wickedness in the city. That could go on no longer. As it now went in Geneva was too far. Already in 1540, Calvin was asked if he would return, because there was but one man who was able to set bounds to this, and that one man was the ignominiously expelled Calvin. But Calvin cordially declined to return to Geneva. He would be wiser than that. He was only too glad that he was away from Geneva. Oh no, he did not even consider that. However, Geneva persisted. In 1541, he received a second call. Calvin declined again. He did not want to leave his beloved congregation in Strasbourg. He wrote back, "You should recall Viret." But this man was too weak physically to be able to endure that struggle. That would demand too much of his strength. For the third time, some citizens of Geneva went to call on him and implored him to return. Also Farrell, who, as we already know, was stationed at Neuchâtel, sent him a letter in which he charged Calvin with sharp words in the name of Jesus Christ to go to Geneva. And yea, then it became too much for Calvin. He dared not refuse again, and with a heavy heart he promised to come. Great joy prevailed in Geneva when his decision became known, but sorrow prevailed in the refugee congregation at Strasbourg. They did not want to part with their beloved pastor. Yet Calvin went, although the parting from Strasbourg was not pleasant, and he knew beforehand that a heavy struggle awaited him. He went in obedience to God, who called him to that work. In the month of September of the year 1541, he entered Geneva again and was received with great joy. He immediately received a substantial salary, in contrast with the first time when, after months of labor, he had received nothing. Now his salary amounted to 500 Genevese florins per year. That was a large sum at that time, because then money had much more value than now. Besides, he would receive 12 measures of grain and 2 casks of wine, and as proof of gratitude that Calvin had been willing to come, the Council of Geneva had a new gown made for him. We would say he received a new suit. Calvin is back in Geneva. Who would have thought that? The man who 3 years ago was driven away so shamefully is back at his old post. With God there is nothing impossible. He inclines the hearts to whatsoever it pleases him. When for the first time Calvin opened the Bible, after he had ascended the pulpit to continue with the Bible readings, he continued as usual with that part of the scripture with which he was busy before his banishment in 1538. Immediately he joined issue with the libertines and tried to repress the abominable wickedness which prevailed in the city. By renewal, laws were passed against denying the truth, blasphemy, the dishonoring of parents by their children, adultery, that means the disloyal forsaking of a woman by her husband, or vice versa. Laws were passed against prostitution, dancing, card playing, visiting taverns, and willful neglect of the church services. Transgressors were severely punished. He drafted a new church order. To explain this in detail becomes too difficult. Just remember that from now on, the management of the ecclesiastical congregation rested with the consistory, that means with the ministers and the elders. They were charged with the ecclesiastical supervision of the congregation, and if it was necessary, to also apply the church discipline. At first, the Council of Geneva did not agree with that, They wanted to keep the application of the church discipline to the civil government. But Calvin opposed that with all his strength. Only when the church punishment did not avail, then the assistance of the civil authorities was called in, and they applied the other punishments. Calvin was perfectly right in this. The right to apply the ecclesiastical excommunication belonged to the church, and not to the state. Besides, Calvin drafted an ecclesiastical catechism. This is called the Genevan Catechism. Strict attention was paid to the obeying of the laws that were issued and published. The libertines did not agree with that at all. They wanted to continue their wicked life undisturbed. They did not respect those laws at all. A playing card manufacturer, who earned almost nothing now, abused Calvin and insulted the Council of Geneva. Some had heard that and lodged a complaint against him. He was promptly arrested, and as punishment he had to walk bareheaded, dressed in a penitential garment, with a burning torch in his hand, through the streets of Geneva, and arriving at the marketplace while kneeling, had to ask for forgiveness. The libertines were furious when they heard that. They stirred up the people. They shouted and threatened. The streets again were full of tumult. Various fights were started. Calvin scarcely heard that, and he hastened outside and tried to part the fighting ones. That required courage, because that was very dangerous. The rage of the libertines now turned itself against him, and they had almost beaten him to death. Only with the utmost difficulty he was saved by his friends. Yet he was not daunted by this incident. Tirelessly he continued to be active, and stern punishments were imposed upon the transgressors of the laws. I shall mention a few instances of this. One day a man and a woman began to quarrel. That quarrel ran so high that the woman was beaten and maltreated by the man. A passerby could no longer look at it. He said to that hothead, "Man, you may not do that. Shame on you." "What?" howled this one red with anger. "What? May I not do that? Neither God, nor devil, nor authority, nor church shall prevent me." What terrible words, isn't that so? But the punishment did not remain behind. He was arrested and locked up in prison. He had deserved that. At another time, a father and son went hunting outside the city. Because the son was inattentive for a moment, the fox escaped, which they were chasing. Because of this, the father became so angry that he swore at his son and hurled all sorts of maledictions at his head. When that became known, he was arrested and cast into prison. For 3 days he received nothing except water and bread. And besides, from now on, he was no longer allowed to hunt. 3 young laborers had a good time together. It had become rather rough. They had drunk entirely too much, and had given offense to the other citizens. They were also punished with water and bread for 3 days. Thus we could continue for a while. These instances give us an impression how sad conditions were in Geneva. Those libertines shrank back for nothing. It is true, the punishments were severe and Calvin was very strict. But it had to be, otherwise a change would never come. And besides, with all this, Calvin intended God's honor and the welfare of his fellow man. All these punishments were applied with the object to save them, and not for their ruin and destruction. The revilement and scorn which the libertines heaped upon Calvin was terrible. They denounced him as Cain. Some had the insolent nerve to give their dog the name of Calvin. They did this to insult Calvin to the lowest. He was reviled in every conceivable manner. However, Calvin proceeded calmly with his beneficial work. He did not permit himself to be restrained by anything or anyone. He stood immovably firm. We know already that the Council of Geneva consisted mostly of libertines. At one time, a libertine counselor was denied the access to the Lord's Supper by the consistory. He lived in gross, open sins, and for that reason, the consistory judged that he had no right to partake of the Lord's Supper. The consistory had judged without respect of persons. That counselor did not submit himself to the decision of the consistory. And finally, the Council of Geneva interfered in this case. It demanded that the consistory withdraw its decision. It demanded that that man should be admitted to the table of the Lord. Calvin refused and resolved, if that man does come, he shall be barred. You can imagine that the entire congregation was in anxious suspense. How would that turn out? So much depended upon that. When Calvin ascended the pulpit that Sunday morning, he looked pale. Yet he is fully determined to stand firm. Calvin may not yield here, because it concerns God's honor. As the moment draws near that the table shall be opened, the tension mounted. Finally, communion is served by Calvin, and the libertine counselor does not come to the table of the Lord. Later it became evident that he was not even in church. The Council of Geneva had secretly sent him a message that he must withhold himself from the table of the Lord. The morning service passes calmly and undisturbed. In the afternoon, Calvin preaches again, and his many hearers raise their heads in astonishment and listen breathlessly. No one has trouble with sleepiness, because it seems as if Calvin preaches his farewell. He warns the congregation seriously for the threatening danger. He admonishes them to remain with the truth and to stand firm for the truth. He tells them that he has always sought their welfare and that he had an eye to their salvation. Really, we would say that Calvin stood for the last time in the pulpit. A mighty emotion passes through the numerous multitude. Perhaps there were some who thought by this that Calvin would soon die. Yet Calvin has not stood in the pulpit for the last time. Why then did he preach farewell that Sunday afternoon? Well, he himself did not expect anything else, or he would be in the pulpit for the last time. He feared, yea, he really reckoned on it, that he would be banished for the second time, because he had defied the administration of Geneva. For that reason, he preached his farewell. He wanted to warn his congregation for the last time. Any moment he expected a messenger from the city hall, who would bring him the tidings that he must immediately leave the city. That which Calvin feared, however, did not happen. Although the counselors of Geneva had taken it amiss that Calvin had not obeyed them, yet they did not have the courage to banish him again, because they knew very well that he was the only man who was able to check to a certain extent the wickedness in the city. Perhaps you shall think, but the majority of the council was libertines, were they not? And the libertines just wanted the freedom to sin, did they not? Yes, that is true. But there were also libertines who liked gaiety and little feasts, who did not think that drinking parties were so bad, but it must not go to the extreme. They were those moderate libertines. Oh no, Calvin was far too strict, and they opposed that. But that the roughest dissipations were opposed by him, this they considered to be all right. Just for that reason, those libertines did not have the courage to banish him, because then they would not be master of the situation. It is true, they were enemies of Calvin, and yet they wanted to use him to keep things within bounds. That is now clear, isn't that so? From all this, it is evident that Calvin had no easy task in Geneva. That task was really too heavy for him, but the Lord sustained him and gave him strength. Much more could be written about that struggle with the libertines, but then this chapter would become too long. It has been a struggle for years. Yet we must mention one more thing, because enormously much has been written and spoken about that, and because Calvin has been slandered and praised very much about that. In the year 1553, a stranger walked through the gate into Geneva. Well, what about that? The city was visited daily by strangers. That was nothing exceptional, was it? This stranger went to a hotel and hired a room to stay overnight. It was not long before a few policemen entered the hotel. They went straight to his room and arrested him. Behold, there they come outside again. They have the stranger in their midst. They turn their steps directly to the prison, and there he is locked up. Shortly after, the heavy door of the cell slams shut, and the policemen go away. Say, why has that happened? Who is that stranger? A thief? A robber? A murderer? No, not that. He is a person still more dangerous. He is a blasphemer. His name is Michael Servetus. He was born in Spain. His father was a Spaniard, but his mother came from France. Already as a child, he could learn exceptionally well, and since he was given the opportunity to study, it was not long before he surpassed all the others. Finally, he became a great scholar. Alas, he misused the intellect which he had received from God. He wrote blasphemous books, and at various places he made blasphemous speeches. In a word, he became a dangerous heretic. The Roman Catholic Inquisition had arrested him and condemned him to death. However, Servetus managed to escape out of prison and fled. Now he had the courage to come to Geneva. Calvin has scarcely heard that Servetus is in the city, or he has him arrested. Calvin knew Servetus because he had met him before, and he had also read that blasphemous book of Servetus. If that man persists in his errors, then he was not allowed to live any longer. Calvin had repeatedly visited him in prison to speak earnestly with him and to try to get him to repent. Alas, he was not successful. He was insulted and abused by Michael Servetus. With gentleness and great patience, Calvin pointed out to him the frightfulness of his actions and errors, but it was all in vain. Servetus hurled the worst and most abusive names at him. Just listen. Being red with anger, he roared at Calvin. Culprit, wretch, liar, malicious, quarrelsome fellow, ridiculous dwarf, you understand nothing. Do you not know the truth? Don't you shame yourself? You lie, miserable villain. He continued for a while in that manner. Isn't that terrible? How does he dare to do so? He does not even want to listen to Calvin. Now you must know that Servetus had various friends among the libertines in Geneva, and he hoped that the Council of Geneva would liberate him. Yea, more, he secretly hoped that Calvin would be banished, and that he would come in the place of Calvin. For that reason, he was so unequally impudent toward Calvin. Oh, if that had happened, then the Church of the Lord in Geneva would have perished. But God watched over his heritage for good. That which Servetus had secretly hoped and expected did not happen. The Council of Geneva did write for advice to various Swiss cities, where the Reformation had also been carried out. All cities gave a prompt answer that dangerous, hardened, stubborn heretic should be put to death immediately, so that he would no longer destroy the Church of the Lord with his blasphemous doctrine. Hereupon, Michael Servetus was condemned to death. He shall be burned. Calvin has scarcely heard this, or he tries to obtain another death penalty for him. He advises the administration of Geneva not to have Servetus burned, but to change that death sentence and to have him put to death with the sword. This request of Calvin was not granted by the council. They do not listen to him. The once pronounced death sentence remains unchanged. Pitiful. It could have been changed so easily, could it not? On the 27th of October, 1553, Servetus ascends the stake, and soon his body is consumed to ashes by the flames. The opponents of Calvin have reproached him that he did the same thing which Rome also did constantly. Even the Roman Catholic Church has attacked Calvin about that. But it is not becoming for Rome to reprove Calvin about that, because she shed and has shed the blood of 10,000s, and besides, Calvin has not desired that death. He did everything possible to mitigate that death penalty. It was not his fault that he did not succeed. The Council of Geneva would not listen to him. It was a good thing that Servetus was put to death. Such an abominable blasphemer, who stubbornly adhered to his errors, had to be put to death. Then the authorities have a task in this, charged to them by God. Does not the Holy Scripture tell us that the authority does not bear the sword in vain? The government must be God's ministers. Once again, it is too bad that they have burned Servetus. It would have been better if they had listened to Calvin and had put him to death with the sword. However, it has happened, but in this Calvin cannot be blamed, because just this he tried to prevent.